Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started on the Developmental Disabilities Board meeting. And I want to welcome everybody here tonight, all the board members. We have some mental health board members who have stayed, which is great. You are always welcome. And why don't we go ahead and start with Mark, and he's going to do the roll call. Thanks, Lynn.
Joy Still. Phil Krein.
Here.
Deb Roush.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Here. Okay. Do we have any additions to the agenda? Anybody? Any? I do. I am going to mention, because we talked about this at the last meeting, transportation, just a brief update. And we can actually put that down under old business. Okay, citizen input. Anybody? Okay. Okay, next are the minutes from the last board meeting, and they're in the package for information only. Any comments on the minutes? Any changes, comments? Okay, we're gonna go on to, oh, I'm sorry, those were the mental health board. I'm sorry, I wondered why we weren't commenting. on the mental health board minutes. Okay, now we're gonna go to the DD board minutes. And do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Joyce, okay. Any discussion, changes, corrections? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. President's comments. I don't have many comments tonight. I just want to second what people said about the expo, and kudos to Barb. It was excellent. One of our issues is employment first. We're taking a look at that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Equip for Equality, the statewide organization, is going to present their plan next week for employment first. And I'm going to go ahead and attend that and be there for when they present their plan. So I will, of course, bring that back to the board. Deb and I and Lynn had a meeting with Darlene on the pass process, because I just wanted to get more familiar with what the procedure is for pass and the process is for pass. So Darlene and her staff walked us through it, which was very helpful. And I know we'll be talking more about case coordination and pass in the future as we get into applications and just as we get into what we're going to be doing in the next year. That's all I have as a president's report. Any questions about that? What I just, or comments?
I have no question. I just wanted to thank all of the people who worked so hard on the expo. I attended, and I thought the venue was great. It was easier for everyone, I think, than Lincoln Square. And I talked to a lot of the vendors, and they were very happy to be there and to be asked to be there. And then I talked to some of the people who attended it, and I always get a really good feeling when I do that, because they tend to say things like, I heard about this last year and I didn't know where it was, but when I found it, you know, I'm so glad I came, I learned so much. And I just can't thank people who worked on it enough. Barbara, I know that you're in charge of that, and therefore you're going to hear it from all of us. So if you get an opportunity to thank everyone for me, I would really appreciate it. Thanks for all you did.
Any other comments? Okay, Peter.
Well, I too was really blown away by the expo this year. And, you know, I was concerned about moving to the new location. I was afraid that no one would come, but more people came than, I mean, it was wonderful. And it really is a community event. I mean, that committee, you know, the planning committee is all of the agencies in town. You know, I mean, obviously DSC plays a huge role in that as our largest provider. But, you know, there, every other agency in town is involved. Jen Knapp is involved, you know, as one of the planners. So it's really a wonderful event, and it's and so kudos to you. The only comment that I have on my president's report, I wanted to alert the board that the association that represents all of the 708s and 333s, 708s and 377s, and 333s, if there is one. Mental health boards and developmental disability boards. We're in the process of restructuring the organization. And part of that will include a 20% dues reduction. So we're going to pay less dues next year, which I think is, you know, will be helpful. I think most of the membership was feeling like we really needed to look at how much we spent and take a serious look at how much we really can impact on policy and different things that are occurring in Springfield, and maybe pay more attention to our own business. So that's what's happening at this point. So we're at, you know, it will be an active organization, but it's going to be a little different in the future.
Okay. Any questions for Peter or comments? Okay, Lynn, staff report.
This one set a record for, right? This is the most pages ever.
You've been busy.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, gosh, I love all the conference calls we've been on and all the conversations I've been listening to and participating in, but I sure hope none of you asks me any questions about them because I'm so tired. But I did bring a handy guide in case you did ask me questions. There's a lot in the staff report. And then what's not in there is I was at the NACBED meeting last week for a couple of days. It was very exciting. I got pretty involved in three of the work groups there. We were only supposed to sign up for two, but I turned my chair around and accidentally joined a third one. And so those were all important topics. One was criminal justice and mental health. The third one that I joined had been hijacked by Peter Moore from Ohio, and the title was Children and Adolescent Service Coordination, but he had changed it to focusing on DD. So then also by the end of the conference, he had sort of hijacked the whole NACBID meeting and ended on a note of focusing on IDD. And the flyer in front of you that says Good Life Community was passed out at that moment, and it becomes part of the direction that NACBID will work on at its next meeting in February. And I spent a lot of time talking with Peter Moore. He'd really like to come here and speak to you and become involved with what we're doing. So we're hoping maybe November or January, but we've got a pretty big agenda in November already. So we'll see.
Thank you, Lynn. Any questions or comments for Lynn? There's a lot going on. And I know I get all the state work groups mixed up, like the GOHIT and other ones. I know that recommendations for the work groups are due like the end of October.
I think for some of them, yeah. I think okay. There's the 1115 is moving much faster than they expected, but I listened to the first of the 10 IDD calls, which will be each week for 10 weeks, and that was yesterday. And Mark Doyle recommended, and everyone I think was on board, that they just use the recommendations of some of the other related work groups. That, for example, the results of the PONS listening tour, which took place this year, and those recommendations have been made, and the report is available about improving the PONS process and making it more transparent. So they want to just incorporate those into the 1115 recommendations. And then the project that we've heard about before at this table for expanding the role of independent service coordination, what the PASS agencies are doing, so that has been rolling for almost a year and will wrap up this week, and then the recommendations will be completed in mid-November. Darlene Kleppel has agreed to tell us because she's been involved with that as soon as she knows, but those also will become part of the 1115 group recommendations, and there are a couple other work groups like Employment First, Illinois Employment First Task Force, which is really just getting started in its work. Their recommendations will also be incorporated into the IDD work group's recommendations. So that was really good news. Yeah.
And I think I'm thinking how it matters to our board is I think when we get these recommendations, whether it's the recommendations from the work groups, the Equip for Equality, Employment First, Dale's on the State Employment First Committee, Lynn, I know, attends the meetings. Patty's on another work group, I think. I think how it affects our board is the information and recommendations that we get from those groups can inform us on some of the things that we're looking at for the next year. So I think the main thing is we can gather those recommendations and then make sure we have a chance to look at those as a board. Does that sound? Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lynn. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, one of the things I know that we talked about when we looked at the role of our board is community partnerships and how we could, for lack of a better word, leverage other agencies and other organizations, businesses in the community in terms of what our mission is and what our priorities are. And I noticed, Lynn, on your report, Mark Doyle was here from the governor's office and met with the chancellor of the University of Illinois with Lynn, met with two of the deans, and to talk about workforce development. And I think that's a really, in light of the partnership ideas, that's a really good role for the DD board. And to be involved in that and to get U of I and other partners involved in what we're doing. And workforce development is obviously a huge issue, what we hear from community organizations. So thank you for doing that, Lynn and Peter. Any comments? Okay. Agency information. Anybody? Yeah.
Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices. I've been telling you the last couple months about the Supportive Housing Institute that we've been a part of in Springfield. And it's actually some families and Community Choices and DSC, and we have a developer from Decatur. So there is going to be a finale. It's actually the date of your November meeting in Springfield from 10:30 to 3:30. And we will be presenting, I believe, at 2:30 in the afternoon. So our community, our champagne presentation. We'll ask, we'll be back here that evening to do an Employment First presentation, but just wanted to let you know that is coming up, and if you're not able to make it, we can let you know how it went, but I will try to forward information, but just want to let you know that that's happening.
Hey, Jen, while you're there, do you see any ways yet that with what you're doing with that, because obviously housing is another huge issue, how we as a board, anything you'd like us as a board to look at or do with that in supporting that whole thing?
I would say, let me think about that for a little bit, because we're trying to figure out what, right now, honestly, the reality is that the services at the state level don't fit with what the supportive housing model is. And so part of what we've been talking about at the Institute is what system reform changes need to happen to make that possible. So there have been talk of pilots in the state, and Champaign County has actually been mentioned as a possible pilot site, and yet none of us, at least to my knowledge, I don't think, Dale, have you heard anything? Yeah, none of us have actually been approached about working with the pilot, so we're a little unsure of what that will look like, but that's part of what we're doing in the Institute, is trying to figure out the systems change elements that need to happen to make this possible. And the idea of supportive housing is what's been used already in the mental health world, of people in their own apartments and the services coming to them. So again, it's, right now it's kind of a cool idea, and we'll see what it takes to actually transform it into something real in Illinois. Right, yeah, so the idea, I mean, what's being proposed right now as we're working on the Institute is to actually have a new service definition in the waiver for supported living, so that you have SILA, you have home base, and that you could also have supported living, which would be kind of an in-between. So for people who don't need 24-hour services, but who need more than maybe what home base could offer. Most other states have a continuum, you know, where you have 0 to 100, we kind of have 25 and 100, and that's it. So that's kind of one of the goals of the Institute.
Were you on that call, the go-ahead call? That came up with, and it got, people got stuck. That is such an important issue to so many of the stakeholders, that the residential options be expanded at this point and kind of let go of 1989. So
this is an attempt to try to bring something from the mental health world over to the DD world. And like I said, it's going to take a little while before we can actually implement it in our state. But it's fun to be part of that first pilot. And so the finale is really us proposing where we'd want to start with that in Champaign County. So you're welcome to attend.
Great, great. And then, Jen, we'll just look for you to sort of give us ideas on how, obviously it affects a lot of what we do. So give us ideas on how you want to work on that, too, if with the board, if it makes sense. Phil.
Jen, before you walk away completely, sorry. So it sounds like you're going to be presenting the concept to that group that afternoon. Would it be possible to effectively give the same presentation in front of this board? Maybe not that evening.
That evening, because we're doing the Employment First presentation.
Right.
I think
that way
it's
no more
to
work for you, but it'd be really interesting to see what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, we have
about
to do it for that finale anyway, so sure. And it's kind of, again, the idea is if we could get IDA funding, which is Illinois Housing Development Authority funding for housing, what we would want to do. And so our proposal is going to be smaller than they're probably actually interested in. But, we'd be happy to share that with this board.
Thanks.
That's a great idea. Thanks, Jen. Any other agency, Dale?
Just quickly, Sue, by the way, I'm going to be attending the Equip for Quality thing, and so is Patty. So if you want to talk about hooking up for a ride,
okay,
you can do that.
Thanks, Dale.
That Employment First, one of the things, as Sue was talking about, the Equip for Equality is one of the members at the table in the employment, state employment workforce. This whole report they're giving is their study nationwide, looking what people are and what they should be doing and trends to go. And so it's not going to be surprising you're going to say, get rid of subtle minimum wage, close workshops, and how that's going to be, and how some states have done that. And I think the whole process is how to learn from that. And the group, then the task force, will then say, how do we start pushing that in Illinois, and what things do we put in place, and what type of timelines? I think that's what you're going to see. And now that they have a new person that's been hired and going to do that plan, that I think that'll move things along. Our group typically meets for 2 hours, but in December, because of this report and things, we're going to be meeting for 5 hours.
Wow.
So it's like a 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock type meeting, and so that'll be tied into that. So that just sort of gives you a little bit more on the statewide Employment First, and I know you're going to talk later on about our local presentation here. Just two quick things on DSC. One, I've told you several things since the beginning of the year about DSC's budget shortfall, and that our board's been wrestling with that, and significant in the neighborhood of $400,000 prior to depreciation, and we've been wrestling with loss scenarios because that's got significant impact. We have a little bit more time to work with that. We did get a bequest at the beginning of the year. It's terrible to have to use up a one-time bequest. It doesn't solve our problem, but it gives us a little bit more time to not have to knee-jerk and negatively impact people. So my board's getting real close to making some things of saying go forward, and as soon as they do that, I will be meeting with Peter, as I committed to at the beginning, because some of these things are going to affect services, programs, and people. And as soon as our board makes that, I'll bring Peter on board and talk about that and how we're going to do that. And again, we're getting really close. Final thing is we continue to work on the Scylla expansion that we talked about. In fact, I looked at a home today in Mahomet area, but it's not going to work. I vetoed it because it's just not going to work for the people who are considering. And as we narrow that, then we're going to get the families to say, what do you think? But we're trying to look at safety standards first, of course, and get them involved. But we think we have the people put together now for that home. They've met and agreed and want to live together and want to share and do that. So that's moving forward. We had, up until last week, a one-person Scylla in place that's pretty neat in an apartment setting, actually for a pretty significantly behaviorally challenged person. But now the state's balking on a commitment they made, so we're fighting that one. But we're hopeful that, you know, because you get a family all set up for success and ready to go, and they said, and now the state's retreating on their commitment. So we may ask Peter to help us with that, too. But we're working on that one, too. And so I think, oh, and then the final thing is even though we continue to work again on the Mahomet one, and then right behind that is to look for a expanded home in Champaign Urbana area, it's interesting to me, my same issue comes back to you. We've now, again, the turnover issue and the available number of people to work in direct service is again becoming an issue. We have, I wouldn't say we're at a crisis stage, but we're at a very significant amount of overtime to cover the shortages in staff, and particularly overnight type staff that are working in our homes. And so I think you're going to hear that. If I turn to Dennis, I didn't ask him, but I think you're going to hear the same thing. And as we do the expansion with the RFPs you do, I think that that'll expand, because we're going to try to expand with entry-level people at minimum wage, and there's not a lot of them that have skills that, at least that we feel, that are necessary to do that. And so we're going to have to continue to look at that issue of how we entice people to meet this need, because we all want to grow into it, but we have to have people to serve them. So I know, and I saw that part of your criteria, Peter, for next year. So thank you.
Thanks, Dale. Peter has a question.
Yes, Peter. Actually, it's not a question. Comment. I just wanted to got an interesting email today. I think it was Wells Fargo Bank. Asked the county if we wanted a house. And they basically said the house was free.
That's your first warning.
Yeah. No. Well, in addition, actually they'll give us $5,000. If we take the house, they'll give you $5,000. It's a one-bathroom, three-bedroom house. I can give you the information. I did check with on the RFP group, the IAG, and it doesn't really fit the criteria. It's a in terms of what they were looking for, but for a one per, you know, I'll give you the information if you're interested, and we'll do whatever we can to help with that.
I'm interested in looking, and I'm sure, I don't know what Dennis or
okay,
you guys have any interest. also. So, okay, but yes, I'd be glad, very much interested.
Okay, I'll get that information to you tomorrow then.
Yeah, so thank you.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've never gotten one like that before.
Word is out. Any other agency reports or comments or updates? Okay, any other comments or questions from the board? Okay. Financial report, it's in the packet. We vote on that. Is there a motion to accept the financial report?
I move.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussions, comments, questions? Okay, vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay, new business. This is the FY16 allocation criteria. We're not, it's for information tonight. We vote on it with the goals and at the November meeting. But I think, and I'm going to ask Peter if there's any highlights. I just want to commend Peter and the staff. I think it's the criteria. I think it's excellent in terms of responding to what we hear about the needs in the community, about discussing our mission and our values and what we believe in as a DD board, and compiling all that and yet making it understandable. When you look at that, I would also, and I, you know, I just heard this at the mental health board meeting too. I don't think in the criteria we could have made it more inviting for new ideas, creative ideas. We want to continue doing what works and what we need in this community. And we as a board and a staff want to be open to creative ideas. And I think in both communities, we know pretty much what that needs to look like, at least the pieces of what those things need to look like. So I'm just urging people as they, organizations, as they look at this criteria and they do applications, feel free to dream a little bit, to put in some of your ideas, because I think these are very inviting to creativity and innovation and meeting the needs that we're hearing from the community. And at the same time, continuing what's working in the community. So I think that Peter and the staff did a great job of getting that point across. I just really encourage people to be creative in thinking about applications. And Peter, I don't know, we did get some comments on the goals and objectives, the three-year plan, that I thought were very interesting. Vicki Nyswander talked about replacing consumer with self-advocate, which I think is a really good point. Deb Curtin had some very good suggestions, which I've heard from a number of community people. Yes, we support employment first. We want to see movement. We want to see transition. However, don't neglect some of the things that are going on in the community right now. And I think Deb Curtin made a good point of that. And then Cindy Crichton, and they're included in your board packets, also had some good ideas about how we could do some more community outreach and awareness. So I just urge people to look. I think it's, and I didn't have anything to do with it, I think it's a really good document for us to use as a community that frames sort of what we believe in terms of our DD services. And Peter, I don't know if...
Well, the only thing I would say, you ask about what are new things in here. If you look at the common denominator for the changes that we're seeing in the CMS rule and all of the things that are kind of coming down related to Medicaid, The issue of inclusion and integration is sort of the common denominator that, and I think I mentioned last time I went to the NACBED conference, the DD guy from CMS said, what we should be buying is inclusion and integration. So we have, you know, what we are saying here is that we should look at all of our applications through the lens of inclusion and integration. So that's a little different. But then the first priority that's listed is priority transition to inclusion and integration, which basically, as a priority, is suggesting that we need to be helping as a local funding authority the agencies that have programs that are going to be changing to help them transition. So that would be a focal point, would be to prioritize applications where people are talking about, you know, changing their program to comply with the way that the rules are the CMS rules are and the implementation plan. And that includes things like Employment First. But the idea there is to recognize that we have a responsibility to look at the programs that are out there that are going to be changing and help the local providers to move them forward. Other than that, most of the other priorities are things that we've had before, the person-centered planning, and all of the other ones listed here are things that we've listed as priorities before. Last year you didn't want them numbered, so we don't have them numbered. But I think this, you know, at this point, as I said, this is really a preview. If you don't like something in here, or if there's something that you think needs to be emphasized, this is, you know, either talk about it now or send me an email, and we'll rework it for November when we make decisions. Lynn?
I don't know if you meant to do this, and you probably did, but the first one is inclusion and integration, and the last one is anti-stigma. And those are like really bookends, because I don't think we can do any integration work without also working on cultivating a community that's favorable. So I kind of like the order that they're in right now, but anyway.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I'm not that smart.
And I realized when I read the comments, I tied in the three-year plan that we had at the last meeting. We're going to vote on that you got last month, and the criteria at the December meeting. So I urge board members, if you have changes, concerns, comments, or whatever about the three-year plan and the criteria, and then certainly the community, if you have comments or changes or whatever in the three-year plan, because those are the, they're not written in stone, obviously, but those are the documents that we're going to do to guide our work and our funding in the next couple of years. So please feel free to comment, add, question, whatever. Any comment from board members now on either the three-year plan or the criteria? Mm-hmm. Mike?
I have a question. On page 8 of the of what we're just talking about, you talk about lobbying restrictions. Is this the first time we've seen this?
Actually, it was in the RFP. The county's position is that the procurement processes should not be subject to lobbying. And that was an RFP requirement. I asked, in talking with Van Anderson and Deb Busey, I asked if that is what the county's position is on RFPs, should we take a similar position with regard to our processes? And their opinion was that we should. So that's why it's in here.
The wording is this is pretty stringent. It pretty much eliminates our ability to communicate with any of the agencies or with them with us. It also eliminates the ability for the agencies to communicate with staff. Now, so I think it needs some attention in terms of what can and cannot be done. I don't mean that we should be subject to every whim and everything, but we have to have a line of communication open, and the agencies can't be scared that if they pick up the phone and call one of us or call somebody on the staff, that they're going to be eliminated. And that's pretty much what this says. Now, it may not be intended to say that, so the wording probably needs to be adjusted in some manner. But
well, let me be clear. This is the same language that is straight from the RFP process that the county has. This is not hard and fast. If the board doesn't want to put this in, I mean, I don't have a legal opinion that says we have to do this. This was, I've got an email from Deb Busey and Van that recommends this.
Are you telling me this is the language that they use exactly?
That's it, exactly. That was the same language that was in the RFP. And I think that their position would be that during, that in public meetings like this, people, that's when you try to lobby. That's when you present, you have opportunities for agency input or, people can come and just during public participation. But again, I put that in at their suggestion. If the board doesn't like it, we can take it out.
I now that we're talking about this, I usually go through my packet and mark stuff up and do a lot of stuff. And I had a couple of questions when I came to this. My issue would be that it would be kind of a slippery slope. You know, if I run into someone at the grocery store and they say to me, we got great services from Pace this year, and I hope you guys are going to fund them, is that person lobbying me or are they advocating? You know, and advocation is different than lobbying. And so I think we have to be pretty careful about how we word that. I actually do run into people who say things like that, you know, and so I don't want to be the person who then says, well, I'm going to go tell the people about that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anything, you know, that kind of thing. I don't want to get into that. So if it really is lobbying as opposed to advocating, I think you have to really define those mm-hmm. pretty well.
Well, this is limited to the applicants.
Yes.
It isn't like a consumer.
Well, it says that we shouldn't be lobbied either. CCDDB members. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to be lobbied, what would that look like?
Well, I meant that an applicant, like an agency that's applying to us for funds, is what they're talking about. They're, a family member or a consumer, or what is the correct word now? I'm sorry. I mean, people can say, I got good services from such and such agency, and that's not lobbying.
No, but lobbying would be, I hope you guys fund them.
No, but they're not the applicant. That's just feedback you're getting from.
So it's if somebody from Pace said to me, I hope you fund us, that would be lobbying.
That'd be lobbying. But again, This was the same language that was in the RFP, and if the board doesn't want this in there, we're not obligated to put it in there.
Okay.
Any more thinking of the board? Because one of the things we're going to vote on the criteria next month, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we can you can think about that a little bit if you've got comments. Mike, I'm glad you brought it up. If you have other wording that you think might be more clear, we can follow up on this next month. Mm-hmm. Let Peter know. Joyce?
If I have a question does this preclude me from calling up Community Choices or DSC or someone like that and asking them for input? Does that preclude me from doing this?
That's a good question. I mean,
Mike says
it's like the, to me it looks like it's the other way around.
That
I don't think it's a one-way street the way it's written. The way it's written, it looks to me like both ways. I can't, when I'm reading the applications and something's unclear to me, I can't pick up the phone and call them and say, what do you mean here? Or I can't pick up the phone and have any direct contact. I've been eliminated from doing that. And that's the first thing I thought about was, the last thing we need is to be putting up any kind of barriers to communication. We're only a group of five, and we have maybe 10 or so agencies. We're not like the county board, who's got contracts with 500 or 5,000 people. We're a little bitty group. I can understand that you and the staff should not be put under any kind of duress for what the evaluation you've got to make, but I don't think we're going to be either, but we do have to be able to make comments, and I don't think the way this is written that we can have any open dialogue with any of the agencies.
I'm not sure I see that, but I was just curious, Gary, you're a county board member and assigned to us as our liaison. What's your opinion?
Well, going back many years, before we even got on the county board, state has some very stringent procurement regulations you have to be very careful of. And I think the lobbying is a little different, but if somebody within management gives a contractor, for instance, some information that you don't give to everybody else, and that creates an advantage, that's a very serious problem. So I think you want to have a means of getting these questions in, taking a look at them, and then sending out addendums and that sort of thing. But again, I would err on the side of caution here. And if anything else, you maybe want to talk to Deb and Van again and make sure that your processes are within the confines of the law, because it is a little bit of a slippery slope. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
So do I need to make that in the form of a request that you look at that paragraph and see if there's some adjustment can be made to it that allows us to be able to have communications back and forth with the agencies?
Yes, I can definitely check on that.
Thank you.
And I think part of it too is timing. Like I know when applications are submitted, we have to be a little more careful about going to one agency or the other. However, I like you said, Mike, we don't want to close dialogue the whole year in talking to agencies. So I think that would be great, a little, if we do that request. Lynn?
And there are so many important conversations right now about system redesign at the state level, and agency providers are involved in those dialogues, and I'm struggling with the idea of silence from now until May. I mean, that work is getting done. So.
Well, and we're not the experts. Right. I mean, the community, individuals, the families are the experts, right. And no. So, yeah, I would hate to be cut off from that. Okay. So, anyhow, I urge people. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so. I do want to comment about that, because Gary's point is really well taken, which is that, you know, we need to interpret this and maybe reword it a little bit, because it wouldn't necessarily preclude contact, except that contact would need to be much more open, much more public, and more transparent to all the agencies. Because any time, I think there is a potential issue here. If you know, two or three board members are in intermittent contact with one or two of the agencies, you know, it's easy to interpret that as some kind of a favoritism or anything else. And even things that might seem to us very legitimate, asking, benign questions and so forth, could be treated that way. And absolutely, the state procurement process basically says that any questions back and forth need to be publicly posted and vetted basically among all the agencies. And maybe we should build such a process so it becomes a little bit easier, and we can have then that open communication, but by keeping that transparency, we can avoid that potential for favoritism.
Okay, any other, does that make sense, Peter? You want it?
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you for bringing this up, because I actually forgot about But we will do that, and then we can, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll try to, trying to think of a way if we can send out some language in advance, get some input. And if you have any ideas about how to word this, I would be very open to hearing them.
Okay, any other questions or comments on that? And if you do, also please send them to Peter. Any ideas for wording? No. Sorry, Lynn. Copy Lynn. Send them to Lynn and Peter. Next on the agenda, and this is going to be a regular idea on the a regular agenda item on the agenda is the Employment First Initiative. It's one of the areas that we've identified as a board and a community that we want to pay attention to in the next year. So at each meeting, we're going to have that to get updates. And Deb Roosh has agreed to be our board point person. Okay. I didn't like say it in those words, but you would, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Sure. So Deb has agreed to be our Employment First point person. So I will turn this over to Deb.
Well, Sue asked me to kind of make an introduction tonight about what's been happening with our local group in Employment First. And within the last month, Jennifer Knapp at Community Choices, along with Dale Morrissey at DSC and Patty Walters, have joined forces in a collaborative effort to craft a plan for implementing Employment First here in Champaign County. I have to commend their efforts for that because although it's been in response to new federal legislation and, of course, what's going on at the state level in various different groups, they've really stepped up ahead of the pack, I think, and have been working really hard on a plan to support more individuals with IDDD in our communities to, over time, move into competitive employment positions. And for individuals who may not desire or be able to participate in competitive employment, they're actively seeking ways to partner with our business communities to create new employment models, to come up with some innovative plans for volunteerism, and a variety of enrichment activities for individuals out and about in the communities to enhance their days, improve quality of life, all within the framework of choice, inclusion, and integration. Sue and I have had the opportunity to participate to an extent in this endeavor. It's been a really good learning experience for me. I've really enjoyed listening and contributing what I've been able to. Sue, of course, has a wealth of expertise that she's been able to share with the group. And we've talked about this quite a bit, that the group is ready to present their more finely tuned first effort at both board meetings. And I think we're planning between the two board meetings, is that correct? Mm-hmm. At 5:30 on November 19th. And I think it will last for about a half hour, and there'll be an opportunity for questions and answers at that time. So is there anything I should say further? Dale, Jen, anybody have any questions about that? Pardon me? Okay. Oh, I said too much then. Okay.
So, Deb, thank you. That was a great sort of overview and framework. So there will be a study session on the 19th between the two board meetings. On Employment First. So we encourage folks to attend that. Obviously, board members to be able to comment, ask questions. It's just the start. It's a draft for us to start with. We will look at that on November 19th and go from there. I think the group is going to come up with some recommendations for the board on how they'd like us to proceed. So we'll get that on the 19th. Any other? Thanks, Deb. Okay. Also in our packet are the outcome reports and data summaries from the agencies. Lynn has done an excellent job putting these together. Just sort of an overview, and then I don't know, Lynn, if you want to give us a heads up. They're in different formats. One of the things I wanted to thank our agencies for taking the time to put these together and to gather it for us and for Lynn to be able to work on. We know you are up to past your eyeballs in serving individuals, which is the number one priority. So we don't want to make reporting more cumbersome than it needs to be for the agencies that we fund. We've talked, we know DSC and Community Choices are working with the Council on Quality Leadership to look at very self-advocacy-oriented, individual-oriented outcomes, person-centered planning. And so we thought whatever the agencies have to do for that reporting, that they perhaps could also do for us and not have to duplicate what they're doing. So we're going to be having, mainly Lynn, is going to be having some conversations in the next couple of months with agencies in terms of what kind of information they have to gather, they think is important to gather, and then we as a board, the kind of information we want to take a look at and learn from about the agency. So we're going to be hearing more of that, but this is just a start to that too. Lynn.
I can't actually have those conversations because we'll be in the application process.
Got it.
Right.
Thank you.
But we
after.
But what Mark and I decided to do, we decided to take a similar approach this year instead of totally different approaches, and just publish what the agencies have submitted, not summarize, not try to speak for them, but a lot of work goes into these outcome reports, and we thought they could speak for themselves. I put together the data for the demographic data summaries and the zip code data summaries, and you might notice some, you know, there are some inconsistencies in places, but I could explain them too, because the agencies and the parent network organizations have been very diligent about letting me know the challenges to reporting, collecting and reporting this data. So, you know, we just agreed, we haven't applied any standard expectations. Why don't we just show what we've been getting? And they're very, very different styles. But I wanted to tell you that the very last page is a labor of love. It took a long, long time to do this. And Mike Smith has been asking me this question for 5 years, and I can finally answer it. It's about unduplicated individuals and services. It shows, to some extent, how people are involved in multiple programs and across agencies. And it matched my expectations. And I was, you know, actually during the year as the agencies were submitting these reports to me, I was able to ask and get really good answers to questions about people migrating from one program to the other. I learned a lot about the service system. So once again, this is just a superficial treatment. And if you wanted more information, I could get it. I have a big spreadsheet that can answer other types of questions, just not very quickly.
This last page is an excellent summary.
I was so happy about it.
It really is. Mike, does this, thank you, Lynn. Mike, does this address
pretty much?
Okay, good. Thank you, Lynn. And again, there'll be more discussions about this with the agencies and with our board in terms of what kind of data we want to see as a board. Any other comments or questions from board members? Joyce.
I just want to say, when I read this and went through all of this data, it really did mean something to me. So I was very happy to see it. Thank you.
And of course, as we look at this data, if you have any questions or comments for Lynn, don't hesitate to let her know.
I think as compared with the funds information that's in front, it was a lot more readable.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can make so many numbers so much different. Anyway,
and that's coming from a CPA.
You walked into that one.
couldn't resist.
Sometimes it just looks like a bunch of numbers. It doesn't seem scary anymore.
you know, at one point I thought it would be useful for you and me to see the numbers as they change. You know, just set aside questions about the quality of the instrument, but just watch it change over time. But even that doesn't work because the process has been changed so many times that we don't really have good comparisons across time or populations or anything.
It's a pretty tough read.
Yeah.
Well, and Mike's our go-to guy for numbers on the board, so. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, old business, Disability Resource Expo, Barb.
Hey, well, I just want to say that, you know, the 8th annual was a success, I think. We had more people come than ever before, and we're real pleased with the outcome, and I do think it showed that people are seeking information. You know, I know several people that I talked to that day were really happy, and since actually were really happy because, you know, they located resources that they didn't know existed out there for their child or their, you know, loved ones, so that was really good. We had 84 exhibitors. 15 of those were brand new this year. And, you know, it's amazing because I continue to learn about resources that are actually almost, you know, in our backyard that we still don't know about. The evening after the expo, that night, I got on the website and someone had contacted us on our website. Whelan Sportsman, you know, never heard of them. But, you know, they're a resource that folks need to know about. So I would imagine they'll be with us next year. excuse me. We had probably 12 to 15 potential ones come in after our deadline was over for taking new exhibitors, so we already have kind of a base to start off from for next year. We have the new resource directory, which I think came out really nice. I would encourage folks to take one, take 10. Let me know if you need more. We have them. The exhibitor and participant evaluations are in process. I'm assembling those, but initially I've actually just looked through the exhibitor ones. They look very positive. I will have a summary for you at the next meeting.
Thank
questions?
Yes, Deb.
I think I'm the only person who didn't have the opportunity previously to say, Barb, but I was just wowed by the expo. I thought it was fantastic. Kudos to you. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. And we had a really awesome steering committee that everybody pitched in. And they've pitched in along the way, so that's so important. And, you know, it works well because, for one, we have a lot of people that have been with us, you know, for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we continually like to bring in some new folks, too. And so it just seems to come together. So then I would thank our committee and those of you who have helped us with this.
Any other? Yay. I've been able to see from the steering committee the agencies just people work so hard on this. The DD board, mental health board staff, you all work so hard on that. It's really a wonderful community effort and community partnership. It really is. So thank all of you. Any more comments or questions? Okay, also under old business, I said I was going to add transportation. You may recall at the last meeting, this was one of the issues that we wanted to look at for the next year. At the last meeting, the Regional Planning Commission was in the process of getting input from a document they draft plan, you could call it, Lynn.
They're mandated to do a long-range transportation plan every 5 years that speaks to the next 25 years, and that's in public input for it is due by the end of this month. I was unable to get a copy of the presentation that I had seen. I was also unable to get the presentation itself. because I waited too long. But I did find the 374-page document with what they discovered, and it's not too late for us to just click on Ashley McLaughlin's email and provide public input. So if there, if you want to formulate input, it's absolutely not. I can tell you what some of the highlights were, but I don't know that they matter. Oh. I think what you think should happen is more important than what I heard.
And Lynn did, and Lynn, I appreciate that follow-up too on that. Maybe Phil, we could talk a little bit after the meeting, because I know you have some specific things. I think that as a board, it never hurts for us to get our comments in or our two cents in. But we don't have a lot of time. So I think maybe, Phil, we could talk about with Peter and Lynn a little bit on any kind of next steps. And any other board member who wants to, who has some ideas on what they want our comments to be. And maybe we could send something out to the board members before. Does that, Phil, yeah.
Yeah, and let me just comment quickly just so that people know where we're coming from here. And I've said this before, but I'd like to get it in the minutes. Basically, transportation is clearly becoming an employment-first kind of an issue. As we talk about community employment, the issue of how someone can get routine, regular transportation to a job site who isn't able to drive, the solutions that we have in the community are really not designed for kind of a regularly scheduled, I need to be at work at 8:30 every morning kind of a process. So while we do have some very good solutions, they're really not crafted for that kind of a function. And I think that we have plenty of opportunity to work with the other agencies, and we need to get something in that long-range plan to understand how we can support that requirement. Today, I think the typical solution is to encourage people to use, for example, the discounted taxi service. That actually is very limited use. I think it's a small number of times per year, essentially, quite limited. And again, even that service has reliability problems, as anybody who tries to use taxis around here to the airport and other places probably knows very well. So there are, I think, needs related to the whole employment first issue that we'll have to figure out how to address.
This is not related at all to the county's LR long-range transportation plan, but it is related to employment first. One of the topics of conversation from the governor's office meetings, this is toward the 1115 waiver, was to change the way transportation is reimbursed for to unbundle it from DT and employment services. And DT and employment services are where most of our people are. So unbundling it could accomplish a couple of things. It could create an opportunity for new transportation providers. It could also, providers of DT and employment services could become transportation providers and bill for it separately. And that might help a little bit with the problem on the, you know, the 5-hour day. So it isn't the rule yet. And we don't know how it'll play out, but other good news that's related to that is talk of removing the annual cap on those hours. But anyway, the transportation piece I thought was good news. When that's unbundled, there could be other providers helping with the situation.
So we'll follow up with Phil and get some ideas on comments. Does that, and share that with the board. And then obviously we'll have to go in further depth on maybe a couple of things that we want to do as a board is the next steps in this. Any other comments? Well, I am a little over an hour. I'm sorry, board announcements. Not that I'm putting any pressure on. All right, a motion to adjourn. Oh, Dale.
I just couldn't help myself. We talked about the person center planning a few minutes ago. And a few months, I would like to come and maybe get Dennis and maybe even Sheila Ferguson in the health center for community elements. I've been working for a little over a year on a group, instead of person centered planning, also person centered practice. And I think that should be the word we should be working on more. Instead of just planning, let's talk about the practice. And that's what we've been doing with an organization statewide.
We've created a model, and I'm not quite ready to do a demonstration, where we actually have 50 questions in different areas. And we did a test with the DSC, so we have redo it. My perception's going to be completely different than Patty Walters, the clinical director. Now we've had different levels of staff with it, due to the direct service. And what it does is it really has you ask different questions, not to see if it's a right or wrong, but so people, for example, in the facility, some of the questions like, does everybody have to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night? You know, when a person's in the practice, that's a very good question. For some people, my answer, yeah, because we do that for the structure, because they get up. Others will say no, because this person is that. And so we've got a document, I think it's very good. We, as an organization, IARP has decided that we need to take a leadership role in that. Everybody talks about their maybe person-centered plan, or person-centered practice. Mm-hmm. It's so much different for everybody. So this is not just a test. This is really to measure where you're at and how do you get there to truly become more person-centered practice, more of the inclusion, and all the stuff we're talking about. So we'd like to, in a few months, I'd like to present that, and maybe Dennis sort of give how that would proceed. And again, it's not like, are you failing or passing? We're trying to set this document so staff can truly honestly answer, so then you can use those vignettes to say, well, this is where we really should be going and how we should be letting people make choices and do those things with them. So I will be sharing that with you. But again, let's use person-centered practice more than planning. We planned for many, many years.
Dale, that's great. Everybody does talk about that, and it is sort of the basis or foundation, hopefully, of what we're doing with individuals. So I think that would be great to have a session on that. When you're ready, would you let us know? And it sounds like maybe you're suggesting, too, under the criteria in our three-year plan, we call it person-centered practice. Or practice slash plant. Okay.
Another phrase that keeps coming up is person-centered thinking. So, and that's in a lot of the models that we're seeing. So I think that's right. We also are waiting for CMS to give some clarification about what they want
right
in the regs. But in the meantime, I think we can look at different approaches to that. I think that's important, actually. And that's one of the things that Pete Moore would talk to us about if he comes to visit.
Let's take a look at that person-centered practice thinking, because that does, I know it's wording, but it does sort of move it on to the next level. It's a little more proactive, I think, than, like Dale said, than planning. So we can take a look at that for our criteria and our goals. Any other comments? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Thanks, everybody. I know it's a long day.